sounds.
You have to get this out of the way, right?
Oh, yeah.
Are you happy to deal with it?
I think it's good that we bring this elephant into the room.
Don't let life get in the way of your favourite podcast. Just connect your smartphone to your car stereo via Bluetooth or cable, and you'll never be left on a cliffhanger again.
I've never seen one of your programs.
I don't feel shocked, but I feel like I should be shocked.
Music, radio, podcasts. Listen to the BBC Sounds app everywhere you go.
Ed Reardon's Week by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. Episode 6, Platinum Writer.
Coming up after the break, the new series of grand designs, followed by a bungalow of dreams.
Quick, mute! Where's the remote?
Don't you want to see how the move to Jaywick turns out for Piers and Matt?
They're all from about 2015, these programmes. They're not even relevant anymore. The dream bungalow's no longer a snip at 36,000. It's more like 3.6 million.
Oh, it's got you going already, Ed. They haven't even opened the sealed bids.
And there's no proper writing in any of them. BBC Two's just as bad. The money they spend on these things. We're rapidly approaching the point where every house in the country will have had a makeover and the TV companies will have wasted all their resources when they could have bought up the entire French New Wave catalogue.
I thought it was Fellini. Or was that yesterday?
Yes, or Truffaut. There was a time when you could watch a continental classic followed by a homegrown play for today. Urgent topical social realism.
About a strike.
Yes, or a pit disaster. It wasn't all solemn. Sometimes there was a flock of geese that needed driving to London down the hard shoulder of the M1, or, I don't know, a charming bagatelle about a pie-eating contest. Variety. That was the watchword, Maggie.
Yeah, talking of marches, it's time for our walk.
It's getting a bit late. It was chucking it down in Houseboat Heaven. That's filmed just down the road.
3 years ago. It may have stopped by now.
Well, you say that.
You just don't want to go out, do you?
Not really, no.
You've loved all this, haven't you? Every minute of it.
Well, that's not entirely fair. I'm not a total hermit. I missed the Uxbridge Cricket Festival. Why they called that off is ridiculous overreaction. Never anybody there anyway.
Well, I was thinking more of the theatre or concerts.
No, you can't afford it. I'm afraid Elgar's rather cleaned me out with his medical bills, haven't you?
He could do with a walk as well, while he can still get through the flap.
Now, what about the other man in your life? He's always tramping through the heather.
But that's with guns, which Bill reaches for whenever he hears the word culture.
Did I ever tell you about my encounter with Sir Frederick Ashton?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to hear it again, of course, but perhaps after my walk.
Righto. Oh, Maggie, would you be a poppet and unmute the TV?
Oh, no! That looks like a supporting wall.
Ta-ra, pet.
It was never my intention to bore Maggie, let alone drive her out into the Berkhamsted gloaming. Unfortunately, she had been cast in the role once filled by the BBC duty officer with whom I had many spirited conversations down the years. The first prompted by the question on top of the form that ended with a preposition. Well worth the price of a trunk call from the phone box outside the school gates. Our final joust was occasioned by the flagrantly incorrect use of the subjunctive in a row between Angie and Den in the Christmas 1986 episode of EastEnders. What I also couldn't explain to Maggie was that going for a walk often results in going for a drink. And who knows where that might lead? Crisps at £2.50 a bag, or the one-way ticket to Carey Street that some call a substantial meal and I call a scotch egg. Luckily, help was at hand.
Hi, Ed! Turn off the property porn. I've got Jazz joining us.
But it came at a price.
You busy, Reardon?
I'm always busy.
Fortnot.
Ah, oh, you guys!
Too busy to write something for nothing, anyway.
I'm still not sure this is a good idea, Ping.
When did that ever stop you, Jazz?
Oh, loving the banging bants, boys. So what we've got, Ed, is a Sherlock Holmes Orridge, but, like, proper Orridge.
Possibly not a Conan Doyle Orridge, then. Not even Basil Rathbone or Jeremy Brett or Benedict Cumberbatch Orridge.
Has he done it too? I'll sue him.
No, Jazz, we don't breathe a word of this to anyone, because if this idea fell into the wrong hands...
Sounds like it's already in the wrong hands, if it's to be a movie by Jazz Mulvane.
It is, but with an unexpected twist.
What, I actually get paid for writing it?
Oh, change the record.
Oh, I'm sorry, but it's a serious question at the moment. Tell me about the twist.
It's an old project that for some reason was never produced.
Yeah, just sat mouldering on a shelf at DreamWorks for 20 years, and that's why we thought of you, Ed.
So, what we're going to do is reimagine it, because all the donkey work's been done already.
I find this not uninteresting.
Then we'll translate it into Chinese and turn it into an action picture.
Yeah, because China's a multi-billion renminbi market.
So Holmes is a martial arts expert then?
Not necessarily, but that could be part of his character arc.
Yeah, in the Arid, he's got a Bulgarian boyfriend, but obviously we can't do that because it's so 90s.
But he could have a car, say, or a flock of sheep. But we'll get onto the particulars once Ed comes on board.
Well, before I step onto this wobbly gangplank, I'm going to have to return to the tedious subject of renminbis.
Oh, probably around 10,000.
11 to the pound. All right. Gets me to the end of the month. Send me what you got.
Yeah, that might take a couple of weeks.
So it's a big batch of drafts and research notes, is it?
No, it's not actually in written form.
What is it then?
It's a box of plastic figurines. Extraordinarily realistic, though. Look at Dr. Watson.
His foot's fallen off.
So, incorporate it into the backstory. Our gift to you as a writer.
Oh, and Sherlock Holmes is really big in Russia too, if you want to bear that in mind, Ski.
Rubles. 102,673.
Mm-hmm. You know you're in a posh deli when the kids have all got masks on, hiding their grins at the prospect of early inheritance.
Well, this all looks very promising. More than one course, by the look of it.
Just bits. Naughty snacks for the interval. And during, if we want.
And you've got a bottle.
One for each half.
Oh, live streaming's the future. No doubt about it. You don't even have to wear shoes.
Or socks, I see.
And I've booked our virtual seats, so if I do this, it should...
Oh, and you've wiped down the TV screen.
Well, we don't want this afternoon's splash of red lentil soup to impede our view.
Was there a tight finish at Sandown Park?
Lingfield, actually. It didn't go my way.
Oh, look, there's the curtain. I love this bit. It's as good as being in your own box.
It's the least I could do. I feel I behaved like rather a brute over the walk the other night.
Oh, never mind. Drink up. I thought we were seeing La Boheme. That looks like a concentration camp.
Yes, realistic, isn't it?
Oh, this is awful.
It is slightly heavy going, I'll admit. We'll probably get something a bit more hummable once America enters the war.
How much did you spend on this?
Ah, well, that's the thing. The price difference between this and La Boheme was not inconsiderable, but I thought it'd be all right. I mean, it's all opera, isn't it?
I don't call what's going on at the back of the stage entertainment.
You have a choice, Maggie. I can either get the red lentil soup out again, or I could upgrade, I suppose.
How much was the difference?
£4.50. Right, it's nothing. It's nothing. I'll just do it. It's very simple. Oh, dear. How did you enjoy Drang und Sturm?
Null point from Berkhamsted.
La Boheme. There we are.
Oh, goody. Oh, she's... dying of consumption already.
Well, it's all right. I can wind it back to the beginning. Could have done with this function at Lingfield.
There we are. Overture and beginners, please.
Excellent. With you in a sec. I just had a thought about something.
Is that a computer game on your laptop?
No, of course it isn't. It's a plastic figure of Sherlock Holmes.
You're going to watch that instead, are you?
No. This is work. Holmes is hiring a special train to head off Moriarty. It just occurred to me that it could be a bullet train to Shanghai.
Who says there's no proper writing on TV anymore?
What? Right, back live. Who's dead?
Well, he's not got long. Matey with the moustache. The size of him. This is great, isn't it? You can make comments without being shushed by some tuxedo tosser.
Yes. They missed the train because Watson's hopping along the platform due to his unfortunate accident. Do you mind if I just put that in?
Shall I pause it? Or rewind?
No, you carry on. I wouldn't mind a top-up and another of those smoked salmon thingies. Couldn't turn it down a bit, could you?
No.
The spoilt evening has been an occupational hazard for freelancers down the ages. That's to say, the intense pressure exerted by family, friends, lovers, etc. on the freelancer to both earn more money and yet spend less time on doing so in order to pay more attention to them. Somewhat overlooked in the recent discoveries at Pompeii was the writer's dwelling. A petrified family group was revealed leaving for a picnic on the slopes of Vesuvius, while the man of the house was bent over his papyrus with boiling lava up to his knees as he tried to finish a draft of something or other, an early Inspector Montalbano, possibly. A third pressure, unremarked by archaeologists, is that piled onto the freelancer by his or her producer.
Are you still in bed, Reardon? It's the middle of the afternoon in China and they're wondering where it is.
I sent you the script a couple of days ago.
You sent me something. I wouldn't call it a script.
Oh, didn't I even get a much to enjoy before you slipped the dagger between my shoulder blades?
No time for that. Our partners in Beijing are itching to green light this. So, page one, have you got it?
Yes, hang on. I'm putting the script up on the screen. Right, I'm sharing. Can you see that?
No, I'm seeing what looks like a concentration camp.
Oh, that was from date night.
Was there a successful outcome?
Not particularly.
You surprised me.
Well, no, because I was straining every creative sinew on this. Right, there we are. What page was it?
One. Sherlock Holmes lights his pipe.
What's wrong with that? Tells us who he is and where we are.
Where we are, mate, is in the Chinese censor's office in very hot water indeed, for violating the rules on no drinking or smoking.
Right, so that's the first three pages out. And the working title, The Two-Pipe Problem. No pipe problem doesn't quite have the same ring, does it?
You're the writer. Those pages would have to go anyway.
Why's that?
You can't have Watson and Holmes having breakfast together. It looks gay. Big no-no.
Well, how would Watson be able to see Holmes leave the table for his morning shot of cocaine?
A, he won't be taking drugs. B, they'll have to communicate by Skype. Or Zoom, like we are.
I don't think they existed in 1887.
Ah, that's where we're in luck. Because no stories are allowed to take place in Chinese movies before the revolution. So think post-1949.
So Holmes could be a martial arts hero after all.
No, because that's a stereotype unrepresentative of the forward-thinking, non-violent culture.
Yeah, I can see you're reading this out. You may have noticed I've tried to keep every Chinese cliché out of this script. Not without difficulty, I might add.
So, chop chop, let me have the changes by their lunchtime and keep the Zoom line open because you know what they're like. Half an hour later, they'll be ready for another draft.
Might I just mention that so far I have seen not a single renminbi for this. Or is it Remnimbus?
It's a bit like their beautiful ancient calligraphy. The contract reads in reverse. Your upfront cash comes at the end.
Hi, Dad.
Hello, Ellie.
That's a big plastic bag.
A writer has to be prepared for anything. Do I walk through the wind chimes or round them? I wouldn't like to damage the aura.
Good timing. I've just made some flapjacks.
I'm afraid I haven't brought anything. Just me.
I wasn't expecting you.
Surprise! How's my grandson?
Oh, smells fine. Growing like Japanese knotweed. He's too big for his bed.
Is he now?
Yeah. I've had to put him on the futon until the next Argos sale.
Oh, I do miss the catalogue. I'm reaching the age when the world seems to be changing too fast. First democracy, then Argos.
Oh, Jake and I used to love it when you took us there. Ordering stuff with the little stubby pen. It's where we got the Wendy house.
I was mainly trying to bribe you two to stop fighting. Those were good years, money to spend at Argos, the threshers next door, corals on the other side. They say it takes a retail village to raise a child.
A lot of clothes in this bag. Are you on your way to the charity shop?
No, but charity does come into it. Should we have a flapjack first?
Before what?
Well, I've decided to take a leaf out of your book, turning my property into an income stream until I get paid.
You're going to put that flea pit on Airbnb?
Well, I've given the shower a scrub. Seems to have done the trick. Provisional booking for the next couple of nights.
So where are you going to sleep?
Hey, Dad!
Great to see you.
Mwah. Oh. I haven't had one of those since Arsenal last won the double.
Your grandson's incredible. He's just finished off book 12 of the Metamorphoses.
You mean he's burnt it? I thought he might have grown out of that by now.
No, he's translated it.
It's amazing the way he's responded to homeschooling. And it's all down to you, Jake.
No way. Smile's done it for himself. And he's talking about volunteering at a night shelter.
Oh, good for him. I knew Smile would turn out all right in the end. When does he start? Tonight?
So I'm guessing you're looking for a bed, Dad.
Well, in a lot of cultures, it's the norm for parents to move back in with their grown-up children. If we were Japanese, it would be strange if I didn't.
If you were Japanese, those clothes would be a lot cleaner.
Sorry to interrupt. I haven't mixed up Smile's kimchi salad yet, but is it okay if I run my bath first?
Yeah, of course. Oh, try my primrose oil. It'll help your back.
Oh, thanks, sis.
Oh, I must have done something right. There was a time when you two were knocking lumps out of each other all day.
I guess we've grown up.
It's scary, isn't it?
Well, three can live as cheaply as two, so it made sense to pool our resources.
And we've got all these shared memories.
Hmm.
Like when your mother kicked me out that Christmas.
And you had to sleep in the Wendy house at the bottom of the garden.
Looks like four for kimchi salad, then.
Sorry?
Of course Dad can sleep here.
Oh, right.
What?
That's fine, it's just...
What?
Well, it's not really for you to say.
I live here.
In my flat.
I don't want to cause any trouble.
You're not, Dad. You're very welcome to share the supper, which I bought, just like I bought last night's, as well as the bag of Doritos, which seems to have disappeared while I was homeschooling your son in the spare room.
I needed to keep my energy levels up because I was doing all your washing and ironing, including the T-shirt, with the message that's quite offensive, actually, if you're also being treated like some kind of domestic slave.
Oh, please. Dad, I'll show you where you'll be sleeping.
No, you won't, fatso.
Yes, I will, Nurse Ratchet! Right. Now I've got kimchi on my second favourite T-shirt.
I don't suppose we still have the Wendy house anywhere, do we?
Is end of the bench taken?
Oh, Maggie, thanks for meeting me here. Don't have to sit that far away.
Oh, I'll better be on the safe side. Bill's just back from a wine tasting weekend.
Well, I wouldn't want to catch noble rot or anything. I would have suggested a pub, but funds being the way they are...
Has your Airbnb guest not paid up yet, then?
No show, I'm afraid. I don't know why.
Oh, so we could have met there instead. Well, I suppose we would have missed the view of Waitrose's car park across the canal.
Well, there was a lingering smell of air freshener in the flat. I don't know why he pulled out. I sent him a very detailed welcome email. Instructions on how to feed Elgar, proportions of dry food to Wes and so on. Bowl placement. I put the go-cat on the kitchen table right next to the complimentary Belden chocolate.
So he's dropped you in it again.
Who?
Elgar. Coming straight after the $3,000 vets bill.
Never try and come between a writer and his cat, Maggie.
Something wrong with that sentence. Where does writing fit in with the Chinese Sherlock Holmes, exactly?
Well, it's a skill. Mon pauvre métier, as Sartre put it.
Did Jean-Paul have a radioactive lobster in his script, too?
No, that's been cut. Writing is 90% rewriting.
And 0% money, so far as I can see from where I'm sitting.
Well, in the absence of anything better...
Yeah, I may be able to help you there.
Oh, no, Maggie, I couldn't... Well, maybe a tenner until Beijing sees sense.
Have a read of this. It's only 20 pages.
Dreaming the Dream, the Ron Sutton story. Who is this?
Well, he manages the Stevenage branch of Boots, but that's not the point. How much do you think the writer got paid?
Ron?
No, not Ron, the ghost. That's the point. $2,500.
For 20 pages?
Yeah.
Belgian chocolate?
It seemed that Maggie had stumbled upon a new publishing trend, an idea of such breathtaking, if depressing, simplicity that it stands to transform the world of letters forever. Henceforth, successful books will be divided into those by David Williams and those not by David Williams, but instead a stable of writers such as the author of the Ron Sutton story and similar vanity publications, funded entirely by the subjects. Farewell to the world of bestsellers and welcome to zero sellers from the august imprint of Biog4U. Galling though it was, it came as no surprise to hear from Maggie that the death of literature was being facilitated by one of Bill's wine-tasting cronies, who'd bought a vineyard on the proceeds of his investment in Biog4U. On the other hand, you couldn't argue with the maths or the purity of the idea.
This may be our last class for a while. I'm on trial for...
Not before time. Crimes against writing.
No, Stan, it's a...
What, love?
A biographical project.
Oh, biography. I can't get enough of them. I've read them all. Nurse Edith Cavell, Lorraine Kelly, they've all been inspirational in my life.
Are you at liberty to say who you're doing, Mr. Reardon?
You probably wouldn't have heard of them.
And we won't hear of them again now that you're involved.
Oh, no, that's not true, Stan. No one had heard of Kevin until we needed to talk about him.
Is it one of the Nolan sisters? There hasn't been one of them so far this year.
No, Pearl, it's someone called Joyce, who had a very distinguished career in human resources.
Joyce who?
I can't remember exactly, but it's just a trial run.
What did she do then? She been on the telly?
She stayed at the seaside once, where the landlady had a parrot. Margate, possibly.
Oh, a damn silly name for a parrot.
Stan, I'll try to make that into a joke if Joyce approves, which could go either way at the moment.
Are you doing one of those biog for yous?
Well, it's not definite yet, Olive. As I say, I'm in the early stages.
My brother-in-law paid to have one written. Martin with a Y. He was a man from the Prue for 53 years till he couldn't open his umbrella anymore. He had a nice young fella come round and listen to him.
That's right, you could have them interview you on your phone. But I think it's worth paying a bit extra for a home visit.
How much extra, Pearl?
Couple of thou.
Really?
I still think about what he wrote at the end of Martin with a Y. If you were to ask me the secret of my success, it's one thing. It costs nothing and it opens every door. It's called a smile. Oh, what a lovely thing to write in a book. Not politics, not people changing sex every 5 minutes.
I wouldn't mind a bit of that. When I did mine, the woman complained about me. I got her sacked, but the book came out 10 pages short.
Was it redacted?
I still had to pay, though. They've got smart lawyers, I'll give them that.
And you think this is good value for money, do you?
Well, how many commemorative plates and coins can you get for 5K? Not many.
That wouldn't get you past the Isle of Wight on a cruise ship.
Why would you leave it all to some cousins you haven't seen for 30 years just so they can spend 90 days in Europe? Got me funeral sorted out. I can do what I like with the rest.
I'd much rather leave my grandkiddies my story bound in mock leather so that they can cherish it for all eternity.
And me. I don't care how much it costs.
But you don't feel you're being exploited?
Well, we're the ones who do the exploiting. We say what we like and they have to write it down.
Well, this has been most instructive, but eternity is nearly upon us, so...
Right. As soon as you've paid us for this lesson, you can get back to Joyce with a Y.
OK, thanks. Yes. Yes, I'll tell him. Yeah, bye, Simon.
What did they say?
I'll turn that rubbish off first.
Sorry, yes, it's ugly flat to lovely flat. So what, they hated it? Start again from the beginning? No money up front, the usual three-act structure?
No, they loved it.
In my experience, that also means they hated it.
Genius, he said, especially the line about a smile costing nothing. They're paying you in full, they want you to do 6 more, manage a team, and they're giving you a car.
This sort of thing can be construed as mental abuse, Maggie. It's not being funny, round about they're paying you in full.
No, Simon's quite serious. You're one of Biog for You's new platinum writers.
What was I before Joyce with a Y?
Premier Gold.
I thought that was instant coffee.
Well, whatever. The point is, Simon wants to fly us out to the vineyard to discuss the future. I like being your agent.
You sure this isn't some elaborate ruse of Bill's to humiliate me in front of his golfing buddies? I'll get to the airport and they'll all pour Malibu over me or something.
Bill doesn't even know about it. This is my project.
Well, we never got round to that second bottle on Labo M night, did we? I'll just check my bank statement first. Belt and braces.
All right, I'll do the honours.
Oh, it's letting me into the account. That's a good sign, instead of the usual skull and crossbones coming up. My thoughts entirely. Oh, haven't seen 4 figures in there since Alid Jones's Celtic Christmas, 1987.
Cheers.
Yucky-da. Oh, message from Jazz.
We can't afford Moriarty's submarine. Your fault for writing brass fittings and velvet cushions. Mm. Decadent, you Burke. Mm. Anyway, I've got Ping to send you a Zoom invite. Mm. Don't even think of going to bed tonight.
I think we'll ignore that, don't you?
Most definitely. You know, we could do with a bit more space in here. They did something quite clever on Ugly Flat to Lovely Flat by turning the staircase round, making room for a cocktail area.
Food for thought.
Should we order a takeaway? Biog for You's treat. Suddenly, Ed Reardon's writing life had taken a different course. In this case, to Sparrow Close, Swindon. My client lived in a contemporary-style bungalow, built in 1974, one of the few on the estate with a garage. Anyone keen to know the contents of the garage shelves and built-in freezer will, I'm afraid, have to wait for the publication of The Plessy Years by Gene Smith, who'd worked her way up the ranks to assistant supervisor of the management canteen. My writing class had given me a clear conscience about accepting money, not to mention homemade blueberry muffins and a heated Fray Bentos pie in Jean's conservatory, whose temperature went from minus 10 to plus 40 within seconds, like the surface of Mars, an observation which might be construed as negative and therefore unusable in my new authorial role of nice man with tie who listens.
Are you there, Reardon? Those rewrites aren't bad at all, and Beijing likey.
Ed, turn your camera on.
Oh, I'm more than happy to be spared the sight of his ugly mug.
It's me, actually. Forgive the subterfuge.
Maggie.
Oh, Maggie. Oh, no, is Ed, like, dead or something?
Wouldn't put it past him. Anything to avoid work.
No, he's not. He's quite busy, so I'm standing in for him.
I'm the one who decides when Ed's busy. And am I right in thinking you've hacked into his email account?
Well, his first wife threw all his shoes and trousers out of the window onto Haverstock Hill, so this represents an advance.
There's been a change in Ed's circumstances.
Has he been arrested at the library again?
Have you made him do another job?
Ed doesn't have the advantage of a trust fund or a talking dolphin franchise, so we had to find something that actually pays real money rather than fantasy renminbis.
Well, I suppose milk doesn't deliver itself.
No, it's writing with holiday pay and free gym membership, and he's not permitted to take on any other work.
How sharper than a serpent's... what's it? It is to have a thankless thing.
Child jazz. It's from Harry Potter. I read the one with the grown-up cover.
Maggie, you can tell him...
She's frozen.
You see, this is the kind of amateurism we're well rid of, Ping. Never mind holiday pay. I've got 7G. Promised, anyway.
Let's have a look at this seafood menu.
That tie goes well with the short-sleeved shirt.
What are you doing?
Just putting a napkin round your neck. Don't want to greet Simon with Thousand Island dressing all down your front. Oh, don't answer it.
No, better get this.
Is it jazz?
No, it's the cattery. Just a minute.
Mate to mate, listen. You've got a chance of happiness with Maggie, so grab it. What else have you got? Zero. Nothing I can offer you anyway, apart from yet another 100-to-1 shot at a production deal. Red carpet, brunch at the Beverly Wilshire, appearance on Graham Norton or front row. It'll probably never happen, almost certainly. You're doing the right thing, walking away. Godspeed, mate.
I've ordered the seafood platter.
Excellent. Let's have a look at what we've got coming up. Ooh, deep-fried squid.
I've checked the temperature at the vineyard. It's a very pleasant 24.
So, this retreat in Utah, how communal is it?
Oh, as much as you want. We've got the 5-star cabin, as befits a platinum author of the month.
Squid?
Yeah, it's coming round on the carousel.
I had a thought about how to make it work.
Make what work? Who are you phoning?
Jazz, me again.
Ed?
Listen, instead of a submarine, how about Moriarty chases Holmes on a giant pink squid? Ha! Call me back. What?
You can only do one job. Which is it to be, Ed?
Ed Reardon's Week starred Christopher Douglas, Stephanie Cole, Lisa Coleman, Bridget Forsyth, Pippa Hayward, Philip Jackson, Barunka O'Shaughnessy, Sam Pamphilan and Jeffrey Whitehead. It was written by Christopher Douglas and Andrew Nichols. The producer was Dawn Ellis, and it was a BBC Studios production.
The Archers is coming up after the news, and that's followed at 7:15 by Front Row, the Full Monty producer, Uberto Pasolini, on directing a new movie,